de l'interface utilisateur au bas de l'écran. Sélectionnez Interprétation.
Yes, for those of you who
Sélectionnez
want to
la langue
access
de votre
the interpretation
choix.
in your language, please go to the three dots and go to interpretation and you choose your language.
Okay, Plinio, did you do English as well?
Oh, in English. So,
Yes.
to everyone who wants to listen in English, please choose the go to the three dots in the user interface at the bottom of your screen, select interpretation, select your desired language. We will have some presentations in French, so it's very important that you select English so you can hear the interpretation. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Pina. All right, and welcome everyone. Welcome to today's webinar, which is presented in partnership with Octo and the Impact 6 Organizing Team and the Impact 6 International Steering Committee. My name is Sarah Carr, and I am with Octo. Octo is pleased to help announce the 6th International Marine Protected Area Congress, which we'll refer to as Impact 6, to the International Marine Protected Area community. And to help the organizing team in promoting this Congress among potential partners, sponsors, and donors. We thank members of the steering committee for making this webinar possible. The International Marine Protected Area Congress, or IMPAC, is held every 4 years and is a crucial global gathering for the marine conservation community. Since IMPAC 1 in 2005, these events have been the essential venue for MPA managers and practitioners to discuss management challenges, share best practices and solutions, and strengthen a community of practice around current marine conservation themes. Previous host cities include Washington, D.C. in 2009, Marseille in 2013, La Serena in 2017, and Vancouver in 2023. Impact 6 will be held in Dakar, Senegal, from March 22nd to 27th, 2027. Impact 6 is significant for several reasons. It is the first in the series to be held in an African nation, providing an opportunity to highlight the African experience in marine conservation. As the last Impact before 2030, it will serve as a critical platform to discuss the challenges of implementing the 30 by 30 global conservation targets and securing the sustainable policy and financial framework needed to sustain these commitments. Today, we will hear from two key speakers. Colonel Momar Sow is Director of Senegal's Directorate of Community-Based Marine Protected Areas, who he will introduce Impact 6's key themes, practical details, and timeline for participation and support. Dr. Arthur Tuda is Executive Director of the Western Indian Ocean Marine Science Association, WEOMSA. He will explore the current state and future challenges of marine conservation, setting the stage for discussions in Dakar. We encourage participants to share your comments and questions to the speakers via the webinar chat in any of the languages used in the interpretation, and we will try our best to respond to your questions during the question and answer section of this webinar. This webinar is being recorded and will be available at the Octo website very soon. I will post the link to that to where the recording will be in the chats. So you can please feel free to share the webinar recording with colleagues and other people who cannot attend today. And as a reminder, if you've just entered and have not already chosen an interpretation channel, please use the instructions on the slide to do so now. Plinio, are you able to repeat the instructions really quickly?
Yes, no problem. I'll repeat in English. Do you want? Okay.
Yes, I'll
First, in English, click on the three. If you go, if, Please, if you want to hear in English the translation, click on the three dots in the user interface at the bottom of our screen. Select Interpretation, select the desired language. Para todos que hablan español, por favor, si usted quiere escuchar en español, haz clic en los tres puntos en la interfaz de usuario en la parte inferior de la pantalla. Selecciona interpretación, selecciona el idioma deseado. Pour tout le monde qui veut écouter en français, cliquez sur
For
les
those who
trois
want
points
to listen or participate
l'interface
in French,
d'utilisation au
please
bas
choose the
de
three dots,
l'écran.
and at the bottom of the page, you choose
Sélectionnez
interpretation.
interprétation. Sélectionnez la langue
And
de
then you
votre
choose
choix.
the desired language.
Thank you very much, Plinio. And without further ado, we'll hand it over to Colonel Momar So now.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Good morning to everybody. For those, today is a holiday. So that's an excuse beforehand. Without taking too long, I'm going to present what get us together today that has to do with the Pact Six. My name is Omar So. I'm the director of the DAMCP, which has to do with the direction of the communities, the protected communities. I'm the secretary of other organizations of which is Impact Six for the sixth time, the sixth edition. For Impact 6, we've made a lot of progress when it comes to defining some terms. The central terms will have to do with the AMCP. And I will come back to this context. As you can see here, we have two big contexts here. It has to do with where we had the last impact. We have two big aims. The first one has to do with Montreal in 2030, which will be the last one before 2030. We have a challenge to see the progress of certain states because we have 30% of protected areas, let's say before 2030. And the other factor, which is the International Treaty of the High Sea, known as BBNG, that was adopted for the United Nations in New York in June 2023. And we started also that part in January 2026, and we will continue having it in January 2027. Then we can say that we're gonna keep working on it. I'm not gonna take too long on this slide because Sarah has already talked about it. I just want to remind you that impact is a place of change, of references when it comes to governing and financing, when it comes to researching as well. We can say that this is the five countries that that allowed us to have that those meetings or webinars. What have we done from 2000 that everyone could benefit from it? We have a committee of piloting that sometimes get together, and the last time was in February, and it's made of some committees in the world, and which is organized by five countries in the world, and in 2007 will be Senegal. As a reminder, that's not the first time that Senegal has been a candidate to have this meeting. We tried Impact 4. Unfortunately, we were a candidate, but it happened in Chile. But Senegal has already tried to be one of the hosts, to be the host, but it didn't happen. And then we tried again. Thank God it happened. So we can say that we can talk about certain countries. We have some countries in West Africa, which is Limpopo, which is a network in the Mediterranean. We have also the West Indian Ocean, which is also a protected area. And we cannot forget the Secretary of the Convention as well. So we can say that there was an official presentation of the protected area, and we have something that we should also talk about. South Africa accepted to withdraw their candidacy just so Senegal could benefit from it. That's from where we could make the announcement from Vancouver. We can also say that there are certain things that are really important for this, for Impact 6. First, it's the fact that we could see that there was a weak participation of Africa when we had the first Impact that was organized. This is a congress that is going to be organized under the name of Africa. We should show the power of the approach of some coalition of the region. We can to show that there is no borders, no boundaries. We can also show that this link has been reinforced. We have an ocean that is resilient, that brings us a lot of profit on the economic side. And we can also see that the link that there is between the conservation that we have of the protected area. We can also say that what a great part of Africa that shows the strength is the youth. We can say that, as I said, as I told you before, it has to do with the practice from everywhere in the world. And it has been reinforced by the participation of the countries from the south. There are certain steps that we also organized. Since we talked about this webinar that's going to happen in Senegal, certain terms have been defined, and also it has also a financial part. I'm going to talk about 11 groups working that I'm going to talk about lately. And we also worked together that we had the part of West Africa that talks about, that has to do with the social program, and also European Union that was established by several partners. And the part that interests us most is the regional part that started to get in touch with certain people or members. We and that want to talk about capitalization. We can say that the partners, they didn't take too long to get in touch with us. We can talk about impacts in Impact 6, the PCG. And then we can also talk about like certain entities that talked about the events 1 year before, just to get some fundraising. some organizations of philanthropy, they also support the idea. We can also talk about Ocean 5 that we also support. We have USN that also signed MOU, which is the Ministry of the Environment. And USN start installing their secretary. We also talk about the organizational aspect that has to do with the place of Congress. For those who know Dakar, that's a privileged place and it's a sacred place, or it's a very important place to hold this webinar. And we also have some organizations that where we have four commissions. There is one that is under the banner of the Minister of Foreign Affairs. There is a technical team for and also that team is going to take part in the program. There is a Commission of Communication and Promotion. I'm sure that they are connected right now with Covadonga in Xeti and FAR. There is a Commission of Finance who's responsible for mobilizing, for motivating the for fundraising. I would like to stop here to show you on this board to show you that the four big themes on the left side on the first column, where the first big theme had to do with the governing that is adapting the G. We have three groups of work in the area in the law area, especially with some measures of conservation that we took, and which is really good for certain groups. And there is an also there's a there's an also another group that has to do with the government to benefit the local population. The group three that will be working that anything that has to do with the society, culture, teaching. And the second big part will have to do with the management of knowledge that we'll talk about sharing, and also some knowledge that will have to reinforce the sea protected area. There, we also have three groups of work. One that is going to be concentrated on research, on the participation, and also the knowledge, and also an approach how to get some good results when it comes to managing the protected area. The group five will be working on the resilience of changes. As we say, it doesn't only have to do with with climate change, but also several factors of change. And then we can also talk about anticipation and adaptation. The group six. That will be the challenge of the group when it comes to sharing knowledge and the cooperation of the scientific corporation. And this always remains a challenge, a big challenge for everybody. So it is the one that produces data. How can I say? The data, the fact that we have that data, where we have some limitation when it comes to sharing knowledge, how we can favor the cooperation of each institution that produces data to share as cooperation in an efficient way. The third part will have to do with everything that is around the network that focuses on the Treaty of BB, which has to do with the government of the Oceania. And we do it in an open way. We can say that the perspective could change a little. Maybe we're not going to have like an approach from north to south, but it's a place where we can talk about local places. And then we go to the international sea through the Treaty of D BB and J. That's exactly what the group is going to be in charge of. And also we have the group 10 that has to do with regional activities, which are some organizations, some government, that of also some that has to do with how people fish and stuff like that. And the fourth theme we're going to talk about will have to of financing that will focus on the protected area and how we can enhance the economy. With the three groups of work, there is one that will have to do with the mechanism of solution for financing, the conservation of the sea, and the other two groups with which have to do with the sectors of activities and also the tools and all the steps that we're going to take so we can talk about a sustainable project that we're going to work on, and also to talk about how open could the group of capitalization, how open they could remain, so we can have all the plans we have accomplished. Whether it is it has to do with the continent, and we can also take advantage of the time to thank the people for having allowed us to use this platform that can allow us to have this meeting translated in three languages, so we can make a better job to work on Impact 6. So the key impacts on the international stage, as I said before, and then we're gonna ask some a friend of ours that we're going to talk about the financial resources, as we have this partnership with certain organizations, especially in the logistics part, and we can say that there is a lot we have done. For example, some a committee for some financial part that has already put in place. We can also say that we can also say that for the protected area, Impact 6 has a lot to do with the reinforcement of capacities, the call for programs, and how to apply to get certain things done. We hope that as soon as possible, at the end of June, we can say that the last week of June, we can spend like a month working on some proposals and assessing something or certain things, how we can work on that, and so we can have a program, a detailed program. As an essential, that's what I wanted to share with you. If you can see that, that is the on the picture, you can see that's the International Committee for the organization. That's, we can say that those people, they are already motivated, they're motivated to working on on the International Committee. We can also see that we have a committee of ministers, which I'm part of. And here, I'm just going to leave you so you can take your time to take a picture of this QR code that can allow you to access our website. There you can see the dates that we have, and then so the countdown we have for our next for the next impact meeting or webinar that we will have in 2027. And also, you can also click on certain and on it, and then you can have like further details of the next meeting we're going to have. Thank you so much, Sarah. And that's what we were just going to, we were just talking about and the challenges we have. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Colonel So. All right, that was a great overview, and thank you to all the team for doing a great job answering questions. And hopefully everyone's in their interpretation channel now. But if not, you can skim the chat for information on how to select an appropriate interpretation channel for you. And so now we'll turn things over to Dr. Arthur Tuta.
All right, thanks. So if you can stop sharing screen, then I could share mine as well. And also, if you can take off your screen. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Kanal. And I want to say congratulations to Senegal for hosting the upcoming Impact 6. I think it's a great honor to Africa and to Senegal for this hosting. I must also say we're also honored to host as Kenya the first our Ocean Congress in June. So it's a great moment for big things for the ocean happening in our region. And I'd like to say good morning and a good evening to everyone on this webinar. It already feels like we are on with Impact 6, I must say, looking at the huge attendance of this webinar. But we all know that around the world, marine conservation is really entering what we can call a defining decade or a defining moment. It has been a defining decade. We are seeing governments expanding marine protected areas and taking more interest in marine conservation. We are seeing we are pushing hard to meet the global targets. Largely, the momentum is really increasing. But alongside this optimism, the question still remains whether we are building conservation systems that are capable of lasting, and or we're just building more conservation on maps. So today, I want to explore this tension between what we our ambitions are, and what we are actually doing, and what we need to do as we head towards Impact 6. So let me start with the good news. The good news is that for decades, protecting our ocean has felt like a very difficult political process. But today we can see that things are changing. And marine conservation is becoming, I would say, a global priority. It wasn't like this probably a decade or so before. And for the first time in history, we have reached 10% of our ocean protection. I think that is good news for us, and it shows that all the efforts that have been made by all parties to be able to achieve those targets. But still, there's still issues that we still need to confront. Even though this is a historic milestone, we've created more areas under conservation, and progress is obviously accelerating. But the question that still remains is, why are we still worried? We've made progress, but why are we still worried? And I think this is the issue that we need to confront as we go forward with marine conservation and Impact 6. And we must face some uncomfortable realities. Okay. This is where the story now gets uncomfortable, because we know very well that the 10% has been achieved, but it has come 6 years late. That's for a fact. And if we have to get to 30 by 30 by 2030, we must triple this number. The 10 must go to 30%. So those are the realities that we must confront. And out of all these areas that we're protecting, just about 4% is well managed. And that's a critical question that we need to confront at the same time. We've seen in many areas globally, The political reversals are growing. Some protection, some well-protected areas are disappearing very quickly because of political changes. And so this is the uncomfortable reality that we may face, or we have to face, that we may be expanding protected areas faster than we are expanding the systems that are needed to manage them. So yeah, it's good news, but I think as we head towards Impact 6 and 2030, we must also face the uncomfortable reality. And of course, management effectiveness is still largely unknown. So of all the 16,000 plus MPAs in the world, we are still not sure how many really are effectively managed. And so these are the uncomfortable realities that we really need to face, even as we celebrate the achievement of the 10%. So yeah, the easy part is to draw maps and declare MPAs. And it's not that easy, but that is the start of the good news. But the difficulty is that the conservation part is a bit harder for us. So while we have created new boundaries, new areas, the part that we need to confront really is the governance issues, you know, the institutional challenges that we are seeing. And these are the difficult parts. So it's easy to declare areas protected, but to look at it from the reality of those who work in these new MPAs and even old ones is that we have to confront the difficult part, which is actually making conservation work. And you have to deal with institutional continuity, governance, financing, you know, politics, and all these factors make it difficult to achieve some of the conservation ambitions that we hold. So the truth of the matter is not all MPAs are protecting nature. And I think we've seen from different studies that, you know, that this is now the reality of MPAs. A recent study shows that just about 1 in 4 MPAs are actually implemented. So that's something we have to confront. If we have 16,000 plus MPAs and only 1/4 of that are implemented, it means that less than 5,000 MPAs out of the 16,000 globally actually perform well. So these are the realities that we have to confront, the challenges that are ahead of us. And also that 1/3 of all these MPAs still allow activities that are not compatible with conservation. So we read about MPAs that still allow trawlers, fishing, okay? And this is forcing conservation to confront even a deeper question that, are we just measuring the easiest things or what really matters for conservation? And these are the discussions that we need to take forward as we go into IMPACT. And in the Western Indian Ocean region where I come from, we are seeing persistent problems of MPAs. And we did a study recently to look at how MPAs have been performing in this region for the last 10 to 20 years. So we conducted assessments of management effectiveness recently and looked at assessments that were done 10, 20 years ago. And what is coming out clearly is that the same problems are persisting even a decade after. And these problems seem not to want to go away. So we are seeing systemic institutional weaknesses. Infrastructure and equipment remain very weak. Staffing is a big problem for many MPAs. Research, monitoring, adaptive management are not practiced. Community engagement, still a challenge, and issues to do with climate and other pressures are becoming a problem. So the reality is that we are not dealing with simple problems. We are dealing with system problems. And as we aim to expand MPAs to get to 30 by 30, we really have to think about this a little bit carefully and ask ourselves the question, why are these problems still persisting many years after? So it tells us something important, that these are not just temporary project gaps. We cannot address these problems through projects, short-term projects. We must confront these from a systems problem. And so it looks like we are caught up in a trap. And this trap is where we sort of tend to deal with what we can see. So we can declare the 30 by 30. We can measure what we see. But really, you know, we can measure the coverage, the boundaries, the percentages. We can make political announcements. But we know that ecosystems do not depend on maps. Okay. And so they depend on systems. So if you look at this iceberg and you look at what is below, the governance, financing, workforce and capacity, enforcement and compliance, community legitimacy, monitoring, institutions, climate resilience, these are the difficult parts of the system that we are not measuring. And so even as we celebrate 10% of MP achievement, I think this is where now we have to really start confronting these difficult problems. And over the last few years, we've been sort of engaged in an activity of cherry picking. We know that, 30 by 30 has become the most visible biodiversity target globally. But the global biodiversity framework is not just one target. It's actually 23 targets. But we've focused a lot on 30 by 30, which is okay. But I think it's time now that we also ensure that as we progress towards 30 by 30, we also look at the other important targets that deal with restoration, participation, look at biodiversity outcomes, the governance issues. So a lot of effort and energy must also be directed towards ensuring that we meet the full scale of the global diversity framework if our MPAs have to really exist and persist. So the risk that we have is simply using one metric to measure conservation success, that's 30 by 30, but ecosystems are more complex than 30 by 30. So we really have to think and take this discussion forward as we get to Impact 6. And governance remains the core of what we do and the success of MPAs. It remains one of, especially in Africa, governance is real. The question that we must ask as we expand MPAs and who governs these systems? Right. Who benefits? Who participates? Who pays? Who enforces? Who monitors? And who remains after projects have left? We've seen many projects coming up, and once the projects are over, everybody's gone, and the MPAs are no longer functioning. So I think governance is one of those areas where we really have to make substantial investment as we move towards 30 by 30. And then the next question that we confront as a challenge is who actually manages 30 by, who will manage these areas? So I've been trying to search in the literature, and what I see is that we've achieved 10%, but nobody's talking about how the increased area is going to be managed. So yes, there's celebrations, but the increased 2-3% that we've achieved, who is actually going to manage these areas? Okay. And I think this is perhaps the most important questions. Okay. It's not how we designate the MPAs, but it's how we manage them. Because as far as we're concerned, 30%, 30 by 30 is not just a spatial target. It is a human capacity challenge, especially in Africa. And so as we encourage countries and governments to continue expanding, let's also confront the issue of capacity for managing these areas. So across the region, like where I come from in the Western Indian Ocean region, what we are seeing are a very small workforce being asked to manage very huge conservation areas. An example is in the Wayo. For every 555 square kilometers, we have one ranger. And we are at 7% of conservation. What about if we get to 30%? It means that one ranger will be managing close to three times what you're seeing there. And so there's not much investment in building capacity for managing these areas. And I think this is where the discussion now needs to go to, especially for Impact 6. Because without investment in people, effectiveness will remain fragile. So in the Western Indian Ocean region, which is covering this side of East Africa, we've been trying to confront this problem by professionalizing our workforce And that is part of our strategy that we're using for 2030. And so we are strengthening the networks, the staff who are managing these areas. And the way we are going about it is to have a system approach where we focus on training and not just training. We ensure that those trained are retained, because one of the challenges MPs are facing in the world globally is retention. So we have people who are trained. There's a lot of investment going into capacity building. But if you look at the rate of retention of this staff, it's quite low. So in our region now, we can talk about 70% retention since we started this program of retrain, retain, and reform, and also working very closely with institutions that manage MPAs to be able to build a professional workforce. So I think the core here is also about investing in increasing areas, but also investing in the people. And that's something that we also probably need to take forward in the discussion as we head towards Impact 6. Retention builds continuity, reforms build institutions capable of sustaining conservation over time. And we can say that conservation will succeed through systems of people. And people, I mean, both governments and communities being supported. Yeah, so the question is, what must change before 2030? I think the discussion and the challenges about effectiveness are critical. We have to put this at the forefront now. One out of four MPAs working, I think that is not a very good score globally. So we need to think about effectiveness, invest more in effectiveness, legitimacy to avoid MPAs being, falling into mismanagement or not accepted by governments and communities. But more importantly, let's think of this as a system and not just declaring MPAs without, thinking of them and the processes that go into their management. So for me, this become the defining challenges for the next 3 years as we get to 2030. Actually, this is for me where the focus should be. At least for our region, in the Western Indian Ocean region, that's what we are looking at. And we have only 3 years to go. So when you talk about 2030, we're not talking about another decade. We have less time now than before. So every moment after this webinar, we even have lesser time. So think about it that way. And finally, Impact 6 is here, and we are excited about it. But the difficult part is that this will be the final impact before 2030. So it is a very important Impact 6. There's no other impact before 2030. This is the only one. And it's hosted for the first time in Africa. So this is not just an opportunity for Africa to celebrate progress. It's an opportunity to ask difficult questions. And the difficult question we must ask is, are we building conservation systems capable of lasting? Or are we moving faster in ambition than in implementation? So these are the questions that I would probably pose as we now start celebrating our journey towards Impact 6. So the next year may determine whether marine conservation becomes a global success story or a global illusion. So the ocean does not need just more protected areas. It needs systems capable of protecting them. And I want to say thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tuda. That was insightful and sobering definitely should be a critical topic for the upcoming Impact 6 Congress. So thank you to both of you, Colonel So and Dr. Tuda, for your presentations. It's wonderful to see both the details about Impact 6 as we go forward and also sort of an overview of where we are in our progress towards 30 by 30. You have both provided a valuable perspective for the upcoming Impact 6 and the importance of this gathering in Africa for addressing pressing global marine conservation issues and for achieving the marine global conservation targets. We now have a few minutes for questions, and we encourage participants to share your comments and questions for the speakers via the webinar chat or the Q&A panel. In any of the languages used for interpretation, and we will do our best to respond to as many as possible. And Colonel, so if you wanted to share the QR code again, then that will link everyone to the website and the social media pages, and people can continue to get updates on Impact 6 through those channels. Okay, one question that has come up amongst in many venues, and we have started to address, how can people, this is for Colonel So, how can people get involved in the preparations for Impact 6, particularly for the working groups? And I'd say we've also had questions about hosting side events and speaking slots and exhibitions. And Colonel So?
Momar, please unmute your microphone.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I would like to say, can we answer all the questions, or we can take all questions together? Can we answer one by one or all together?
One by one is fine, or all together, however you would like to do it.
I'm going to answer quickly. This has to do with the participation of some working groups. I also left my email on the chat. And this way, this will allow people to get to the group that they're interested in. But the link for the working groups, I will put it like progressively on the website.
Okay, thank you, Colonel So. Let's see. A question that came in, and this is probably for Dr. Tuda, based on the topics of the presentation. To what extent are MPAs achieving their objectives for which they are set? Do we even know clearly what the objectives are to allow for adaptive management?
Right, great. Thanks for that question. I think it's a big elephant in the room that we are still grappling with. First of all, what is effectiveness, and how do we measure it? And this is a difficult question that we keep confronting, especially in Target 3, when we say to have 30% of effectively managed marine protected areas, when we are seeing that just about one quarter of the global MPAs are effectively, they're even implemented, leave alone measuring the effectiveness, they're not implemented. So when it comes to objectives, I think that is very unique and specific to MPAs as sites. So each site has to determine and establish their objectives or the purpose for which they're being set up. And their success must be measured against those parameters that they've set. So if an MPA has been established to restore fisheries, then you'd expect that that is what they should be measuring. How effective is that MPN in restoring fisheries or in supporting community livelihood? So there's no global objective for all MPAs. I think what we all agree is that MPAs are supposed to support regenerative oceans, but specific objectives are specific to sites. And adaptive management programs are developed based on those specificities. So I think, but overall, it remains a difficult question because how do we aggregate the impact of MPAs globally? It's easy to measure the effectiveness of one site, but to look at it from a global perspective would require that we measure multiple sites to be able to determine whether they're actually effectively working. And one of the examples that I gave is a study that was conducted of 100, the first 100 MPAs, the biggest that exist, 100 of them, that account for almost 90% of all MPAs in the world in terms of size. And it is that score of one out of four, that's where I got the score from. So even these big MPAs, 100 of them, it means just about 25 of them were being implemented, leave alone measured for effectiveness. So That's the actual situation, and it reflects probably what's happening globally. And so my thinking is that the effectiveness needs to be an important discussion and not like a subsidiary discussion to, expansion of MPAs. It needs to be the core discussion of MPA management as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tuta. Another question that came in, this is from Jordan Maba from the Republic of Congo. The question is, what role is being given to young people in the preparation for Impact Six? How do you plan to integrate young people into the various themes to ensure their inclusive and effective participation before and during Impact Six? And then Jordan actually had a suggestion to ensure that young global leaders speak with one voice and propose coordinated actions. It is important to establish a global platform for coordination, sharing experiences, and proposing sustainable and inclusive solutions. But we'll go back to the question, which is, what role is being given to young people in the preparation for Impact Six?
That's a great question. I'm going to be really practical. There are two initiatives. The first one is to support, but is to support through the Gaspésie, with the support of the Canadian Corporation, which has worked a lot on the conservation of the area, of the protected area. We can say that online, this is a massive course. It's a comprehensive course that could take us to a group of 100 young people that would work with the team that could do like a visit of orientation at Gatsby and serve now, and that they could like go together or work together with the process of the organization of the Impact Six. That's a part. That's one part. And the second part, we can say that even in the committee of the organization, we have an association, an international association of young people, which is part of a university youth that talks about biodiversity. Our target is Senegal, which is part of the international community, and they have the role of sharing in a large way through certain networks that exist also in Africa and also in other continents. And these are two practical situations that we use for young people to have their places in the Impact Six.
Okay, thank you very much, Colonel So. There was a follow-up question. Have the 100 young people already been recruited?
Yes.
Yes. Wait, they have. Okay, wonderful. Another question that came in regards in Argentina, two large open ocean marine protected areas were designated in 2018, though their management plans had not yet been finalized. However, Argentina possesses extensive fisheries management tools, such as permanent and seasonal closures, which complicates the establishment of new marine protected areas. I would appreciate your opinion regarding OECMs or other effective conservation measures, that is, recognizing fisheries closures areas that offer scientifically proven marine conservation benefits. Thank you. Dr. Tuta,
Right.
that might be aimed primarily at you. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for that question. I think it's for that reason that OECMs were introduced in Target 3. So it talks about MPAs other effective area-based management measures. And of course, the example given is a clear example of an OECM where the objective was fisheries, but it also turns out that those areas are contributing to marine conservation. So that's almost like a new trend, and I think they're being encouraged. And so we have such examples that already have been documented, especially in our region, where community managed areas that were initially set up for fisheries management are now sort of being recognized or in the process of being recognized as OECMs because of the contribution to conservation and biodiversity. So that will count as part of the global conservation estate, or if they are assessed and eventually designated as OECM. So I think it's quite in order because you're going to talk about MPAs and other effective area-based management measures. All these will constitute the global conservation estate. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tuta. Another question that came in, is there any kind of countdown towards Impact 6 in terms of goals and commitments that we want to achieve, either regionally or globally? For instance, a certain this number or area is of MPAs is created regionally in Africa or other types of goals.
Maybe can also can go for that. But what I can say is that Impact 6 is giving us the momentum to accelerate some of the actions that we've already started, especially in our region, in the West Indian Ocean region. We are working with governments here to try and sort of meet the commitments that we've already made, because most of these governments in the region made commitments for 30 by 30. The process has, however, been very slow because of obvious reasons that require our attention as well. But we have cases where governments have re-engaged. And I think Impact 6 being in Africa offers that great opportunity for us to mobilize our voices to be able to push for some Africa target, for example, and say, like in my region, we are at 7%. That's 10 countries in the West Indian Ocean region. One of the targets that we want to promote is to move from that 7% to at least 10% by Impact 6. I think that would be some commitment that we will try to achieve. And even recently, the upcoming Our Ocean Congress that is being held in Kenya in June, we've seen governments actually committing to expanding and improving management of these areas. So what we could also do is to pick these commitments from Our Ocean Congress and see how they've been realized by the time we come to Impact 6. I think that is, we can actually see how to connect these two processes. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tuta. Colonel So, would you like to add anything?
Yes, absolutely. I would like to say that at the end of Impact 6, that's the time we are going to have all the outcomes and also all the engagements of the people and also what people would like to do before we get to 2030. I think we're almost at the end of the meeting, of the webinar. I would like to encourage everyone to go to the website. I've already put the emails for the technical committees. You can also get in touch with the administrators of groups. Thank you.
Okay. And we are indeed at the end of the webinar. Thank you so much to Colonel So and Dr. Tuta for presenting today about Impact 6 and the critical discussions that will be taking place there. We look forward to seeing many MPA managers and practitioners, including many of you here today, in Dakar next year. For those interested in sharing this session with colleagues, or for those who could not attend, a recording of this webinar will be available on the OCTA website within the next few days. We hope to continue providing a virtual platform for additional events leading up to Impact 6. We will keep you informed of new opportunities to learn and engage as we prepare for March 2027. Please don't forget to follow Impact 6's social media accounts. Links have been provided in the chat. And if you, your agency, or any of your partners are interested in supporting and or sponsoring Impact 6, please reach out to Colonel So and his team directly. Alternatively, please feel free to contact me at sarah@octogroup.org, and I will be happy to connect you with the organizing team. Thank you all for attending, and we hope to see you both at Impact 6 next year, as well as any other lead-up and follow-up events.
Merci Thanks. Beaucoup. Thank you.
Okay. And Kurt.
Thank you so much. Okay, we'll keep. On reste en contact. Okay, let's keep in touch. See you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you all.